Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Dalit. And we are on Gimel of a base. Schedule, you know the next 2 days will be put up from the last cycle. And Beth Hashem, Hey and Vav. And then Beth Hashem will pick up again on, for the new cycle, daf Zayin. But, we'll enjoy, Runya. That'll be, tomorrow's daf Beth Hashem from the last cycle. Okay, so today we get a little bit of Agadata, a little bit of various Inyanim, and we start off with Herdis. Herdis on the fifth wide line on Gimel Amid Beis. So why are we getting into Herdis? Because the Gemara just spoke about the halachas of Binyan Beis HaMikdash and when one is allowed to Rachmana Litzlan, not really Rachmana Litzlan, to destroy one shul in order to build another shul, and how could Bebe Ben Buta even give an eitzah to Herdis to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, right, if there was no other. So we had a couple of opinions. Either there was a crack in the wall, or there was, for sure, there was no turning. He wasn't going to be Choserbo, he was a Melech, right, and now we're going to get into the story of when was it that Bebe Ben Buta gave the advice to Herdis to knock down the Beis HaMikdash. So we will see. Herdis, a Roman general who didn't start off that way during the time of Bias Sheni, says the Gemara. Herdis avda de Beis Chashmonai have. Right, he was an eved. He was a servant of the Beis Chashmonai. He was an eved Kenani. So he was Roman and he was semi-Jewish, right, that middle status, eved Kenani. And what happened? Nasan Eina b'osatinokos. There was one girl that he put his eyes on, that he was interested in. Yomachad. One day, Shama Hahu Gavra Baskala, that person, meaning heard a Baskol, heard a heavenly voice, meaning nobody else heard the heavenly voice. We mentioned there are other Gemaras. Sometimes Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to people, and the question is, do we hear it or not, or how we hear it, right? We know the Gemara in Titus Daf Chaf Aleph about Ilfen, Rabbi Yochanan, about hearing the voice or not. We spoke about the Gemara in Maseches Chagiga, about Elisha Ben Avuya, who heard me achorei apargo, shuvu badim shovavim chutz me'acher. So sometimes we find that there are certain people that hear voices, but it's not a baskol that everyone hears, right? Even the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, right? A baskol goes out from chorev every day and says, oh, people aren't taking Torah as seriously as they should. So, halavai, we should hear that baskol. We don't hear the baskol. Maybe we do, if anybody's sitting and learning Torah. So that's a reflection that they do hear the baskol inside. But either way, here, heard the baskol, the Amar, which said, kol avda, demarid hashta matzlach. Whichever Eved right now rebels and takes advantage of the time, so then matzlach, so then they will be successful. So he hears it, he takes it as a reference to him. If he rebels against his master, so what happened? Kam katzlidu lukule maruse. He wiped out and killed all of his Hashmonaim masters, right? This was the time after, a couple of decades after the story of Hanukkah, and Herdis was an Eved, and he took care of Rachman al-Islam, the entire dynasty of the Chashmonah, v'shayri lahi yinuksa. He left one girl. This one girl that he put his eyes on, that was the only one that he left. Stop there for a minute. The Ramban already refers to this story in his commentary in Parshas Vayechi. We mentioned this Chanukah time. The Ramban in Perek Meptes in Vayechi, lo yasser shevet b'Yehuda. We know the Ramban discusses there, against the Rambam. The Rambam does not quote lo yasser shevet b'Yehuda as an issur d'araisa, as incumbent upon any individual. But the Ramban does. The Rambam says there's a promise that the Malchus will never leave the family of David HaMelech. But the Ramban says it's not just a promise, it's an Avera. It's an Avera for any other Jew who's not from David HaMelech's family to get up and try to be the king. No, it's only from David HaMelech's family. And therefore, says the Ramban, even though Chanukah is an amazing holiday, and we say Hallel, and it's wonderful, and we got the Beis HaMikdash back, and then with Nisim, but there is a tinge of negativity, says the Ramban, because the Chashmonaim, who were Kohanim from Shevet Levi, should have, after they defeated the Yevanim, stepped aside and found somebody from Malchus Beis David to take over as the king. That would be the most appropriate, says the Ramban. Lermos ki yimlok Shevet Acher lo yasur. Lermos ki yimlok Shevet Acher al Yisrael. Avo me'eshe yachel lios liyehuda Shevet Malchus. Once Yehuda gets it, meaning Shol HaMelech, that was before it started. That was fine. And they asked for it, and I wasn't the time anyway, but that didn't count. But once David HaMelech's family starts, so then lo yasim yimenu al shevet acher. V'zeo shenemar ki Hashem elokei Yisrael nasan mamlacha lo David al Yisrael lo olam lo levanav. That's it. And what about Shaul? That was beforehand. And what about Yerit Sefer Malachim? The whole line of Malchi Yisrael? Okay, they weren't righteous. All of them. They weren't righteous. They followed Yeruvim and Nevat. Some, but just as bad. Some, not as bad. But generally, they all followed, says the Ramban. Well, originally, for one or two generations, it was a punishment to Shlomo and Rechavam. But then, one or two generations later, they should have come back. They shouldn't have stayed up north in Shomron and had a separate malchus. They should have come back, and they were all being mamlech in sin, adding to all the other averes that they were doing, avodah zara and killing many of the neviim and rabbanim. But besides that, they were being mamlech in sin. And he says towards the end of the piece there, and that's exactly what happened to that, and that's why the Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Gimel tells us that the Chashmonaim dynasty was eventually wiped out. Because they were being mamlech in sin. V'zehaya onesh ha-chashmonaim, shemolchu b'bayisheni. They were mamlech in b'yisheni, ki ha-yu chasidei elyon. V'ilmolei heim nishtachu ha-Torah v'abitzos b'Yisrael. Without them, Torah would have been forgotten amongst Israel. They were amazing what they did, Matasyahu and his sons. V'yafal pike nedshu onesh gadol. But still, they were ne'enash, they were punished. Ki arba b'nei ha-chashmonai ha-zakein ha-chasidim, ha-molchim zeh achar zeh. Im kol gvurasam atzlachasam, not flu biyadayvei b'charev. Eventually, right, fell into the hands of the of Hurdus, right here. V'hiyigia ha'onesh b'sof l'bash arba chazal. He quotes the Gemara that's going to come up in a minute. Ava avo pishay b'zera shimon onesh b'natzukim. Ava kol zera batasio chashmonai atzadik lo avru el bavur zesha molchu v'lo haya mizera David ubi beis David. V'heisiru hashivet v'habachokik l'gamrei. They violated this pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. V'haya onesh mida keneged mida. Shehim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem b'savdeihem v'heim echrisim. V'efshar gav kei she'alav chet b'malchusa v'chulu. And he continues. But that's the Rabban who talks about this Gemara. It says that we should have given away the Malchus. The Chashmonaim should have given away the Malchus. And in that way, everything would have been fine. We do not get this impression at all from the other Rishonim. The Rambam, the Avar Ben El Beferish, talks about another Rabban is wrong. No, you don't get any negativity. Mistaba, there was nobody else to be the king. And also, this isn't a promise that nobody else, it would ever leave. It would go back to David. But it doesn't mean that forevermore, nobody else would become the king, at a time when there is such a tzorich for that to occur. Okay, so now we're back to the Gemara. So, Hurdus killed, he heard this Basco, and he killed out all of his masters. Says the Gemara, what happens? He left his one girl. Ki chazis hahu yinuksa, when the one girl sees the kaboy leminsevei, that Hurdus wants to marry her, salika leigra, v'rabakala, she goes up to a roof, and she calls out, v'abra, and she says, kol manda asiva amar, anybody who, for now on, ever comes and says, v'beis chashmonai kasina, I am from the chashmonaim, avdahu, they're an Eved, they're lying. They're not from the Chashmonaim, because I'm the last one. I'm the last one, and here I go. And she jumped off the roof. And this is it, I'm the last one left, and I can't deal with Hurdus. And she jumped off the roof. Big Shaila in the, we've discussed in other contexts, not for now, committing suicide in the face of certain torture, in the face of Chil Hashem, right, Shaul HaMelech, there were some Amoraim that are discussed elsewhere, that in order to prevent themselves from being involved in Znus, they jumped off a roof. There's one story that Eliyahu HaNavi had to come and catch one of them. You know, you made me schlep here. Right, so is that appropriate? Is ever, right, we know suicide is an Isser. One is not allowed to commit suicide. There's even a medrash that says, lo tirtzach, do not commit murder. Lo tisratzeach, don't kill yourself. Right? Is it darais? Is it darabanan? But ma'abid atzma ladas. So this girl, Rabbi Gemara Gittin, about the 400 children on a boat that knew that they were being brought to do an aveira, they all jumped off the boat. So there are various stories in Chazal about this idea. But here's one of them. This goes on the list. This girl jumped off. She didn't want to be connected to Hurdus at all. And therefore, she committed suicide. So whoever says they're from the Chashmonaim, they're really lying, they're Avadim, and she jumped off and killed herself. Does it literally mean Avadim? Tosfos in Yev, meaning, who says they were Avadim? Maybe they just weren't the king. Who says they were Avadim? If they say they're from Hurdus, were all of Hurdus's descendants Avadim? So the Tosfos, not Tosfos here, Tosfos in Yevamos, Daf Mem Hei, asks, V'im Tomar, V'komakom Amai Avdahu. Why does it say that they would be avadim? Halo mistama kishem malach Hurdus. Hurdus is going to be, take over being the king. Nisyashu bailov. Right, the owners are dead, so the owners don't have any control. And we know we pass it like Shmuel says. Tosfos hamafker avdo yatzal acheres vein sorak et shichur. So what do you mean avadim? Servants? Why would they be slaves? Okay, they wouldn't be from the Chashmonaim dynasty, but would they be slaves? Says Tosfos v'yesh lomar deshema hayu mitzapim shetia ga'avaso mushpeles. Maybe they never gave up hope. They're all dead. But maybe they didn't give up hope beforehand, and there was no active yeush, and therefore they would still be the status of avadim. Fascinating. Other Rishonim say, no, it just means that they wouldn't be, ever means like a lowly individual, the yichus, doesn't mean literally that they would be avadim. But either way, this is what happens. She jumps off. So what happens, terrible, what exactly he does. Tamana Shevashidim Badufsha, he preserves her body in honey for 7 years. Right? Why honey? Right? Either because honey is one of the things that doesn't become bad and doesn't putrefy over time. So, Ikad Amri, Ba'ala, Ikad Amri, Lo Ba'ala. Some say that he was with her after she died. Rahmanul Islan. And some say not. Ikad Amri, Ba'ala, Hadatamna li Yisuve li Yitzray. Some say if he actually was with her after he died, so then the reason that he put her into this honey was in order to keep her beauty and to satiate his Yitzer. But to Amri la Lo Ba'ala, and the, those who said that he wasn't, so why did he preserve her? Hadatamna ki Hechi did Ne'emru Basmelach Nasav. At least he'll have a royalty. You see? That's my wife. Right, that's so everybody realizes that I married in. Right, throughout history we have Rishayim that try to marry in and prove themselves and see I'm a king, I'm not a lowly stable boy, as we have the Gemara if you remember in Megillah about Achashverosh. Achashverosh married the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, Vashti, right, and also that's what Vashti said to him, who are you? But he married in, so here too. He married into royalty. So Amar. So now that he's killed out all of his masters, the Chashmonaim, so he's not done yet. Amar Mandarish, who are the ones that darshan the pasuk that does not allow me to be the king of Israel? Right, he was an Eved Kenani, right, and now an Eved Kenani, he wants to become the king. Mikerev achecha tasim alecha melech. The pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, from amongst your brothers you shall be the king. Who are the who's darshan from that pasuk that I can't be the king? What does that mean? From that pasuk, you might say that the, meaning what do you mean, darshan? Look at Tosis for a minute. Man darish, one line Tosis. The pashti tekra, lo mash velebute eved, shuachecha bemitzvos, elo obikochavim. You might have just understood that pasuk of mikarev achecha, a non-Jew can't be the king of Israel. Okay, but an Eved Kenani that was now freed, so, or semi-freed, so maybe he can be. But the, we darshan from that pasuk, no. An Eved Kenani cannot become the king of Israel. So who darshan that? The rabbis. The rabbis were the one that darshan that. Kab, right, my rabbanon. So what happens? Kab katzlidu l'kol rabbanon. He wiped out all the Sanhedrin. Wiped out the rabbanon. Right, the Rabbi Yaakov Ebden here says maybe he was just those that he knew would go up against him. The Pasha says that he killed out all the rabbis. Right, who was left? So says the Gemara, Shavke l'babav ben buta. He left one rabbi to take advice from. To cut l'mishkal eitzah b'nei. He needed one rabbi to give him advice. And therefore, he kept one of them, but he wanted to make sure that he didn't cause any trouble. And he, what does he do? He tortures him. Ahadrele kalila daile. He puts upon him a type of crown made out of porcupine quills, which ended up nakridu leene, blinding him. Therefore, there was nothing for him. He was powerless. He was alive, but he was powerless, and he was there at the mercy of heard this. A couple of points. Number one, why dafka baba ben buta? Out of all the rabbis of the time, is there anything we know about Baba ben Buta which would say why he was the one that was kept alive? So says the Ben Yehoyada. It's been a while. Ben Yehoyada on all the Agadatas. We had a little bit in Baba Tzia. We have some in here in Baba Basra also. The Masha Bachar Baba ben Buta Davka Velobuz Lasso. He quotes, "Ki Baba ben Buta was known as someone who was calm, who was not vengeful." Mipnei she'eino nokei minoter b'tivo v'hu mochel v'solech l'chol bishachatalo. And he always forgave. And he was always good. Where's the best story in Shas about Baba ben Buta? Can't forget this story. The Darim Samach Vav. Remember that story? There was a husband and wife that was having a fight. And the problem was they came from different areas of Babel. They spoke different dialectics. So every time the husband asked for a soup, the wife brought him kugel. And whenever the husband asked to bring me my shoes, she brought him his hat. They couldn't talk to each other. Finally, he got so frustrated, he says, "You know what, take these candlesticks and throw them on the Baba." Right, throw them on the Baba. So he meant to just take them outside, put them by the gate to have some light outside. But she didn't know what he was talking about, so she goes outside, she sees Baba ben Buta sitting on the outside. He's like, oh, she's like, okay, she takes them and she smashes them over his head. He says, "Why'd you do that for?" So she says, "My husband told me to put it on the Baba." So he says, "Ah, you should have a lot of Shalom Bayis. You should have a lot of Shalom Bayis." So you see from that Gemara, he didn't take it, he was like smashed over the head. All he cared about, Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis, right, that's what Rav Shechter likes to call that Gemara, humor in the Talmud. But it's Baba ben Buta, that's the Bekimisha Yaduam Mefursam Shehu Ma'avir Al Midosav V'lachet Bachar Herdus L'Shairo Shalola Hargo. Right, and that's what he And that's what he did. That's why he left Dafka him alive. Why did he Dafka blind him? He could have kept him and blinded him. So, says the Ben Yehoyada, well, a Summa is not allowed to be part of the Sanhedrin. He didn't want any Sanhedrin coming up and making any more decisions about his ability to be the king or not. So Dafki blinded him so that the Eid Summa Ro'i Lios Ben Sanhedrin. Razal, quotes the Gemara, that would not be acceptable, right? Which reminds us of the story of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe is written in the eighth volume, the first of the two posthumous volumes that they put out about Rav Moshe. So there in the Hakdama of the eighth volume, they write all the different stories about Rav Moshe, and they say, in Tavshin Lamed Tes, 1979, there was a need for Moshe to get some teeth pulled. Ulhaskilo Shinai Totavos, they were going to make him dentures. Hu Darash, and he asked, Yashiru Bafiv Lafakos Shtei Shinayim. He wanted at least two teeth left in. Why? Kedesha lo yehe begeder mishenitlu shinav balmum, and he didn't want to be a balmum, which is at least maris ayin, at least, that he wouldn't be able to be part of the Sanhedrin. Therefore, I'll leave a couple of my teeth in, because I want to be lasi lavo. He's assuming that he's not going to get all his teeth back. Bisofa sholdavar is barer shenita lashir befiv arba mishinav, and after research, they were able to leave four in, vaz hirsha rabbeinu shitaplubo, and then they said, okay, fine, you can do whatever procedure you need to do, if I still have four teeth. So, things that we think about before we go into surgery. Rav Moshe thought about being on part of the Sanhedrin. Like they say also the Rambam, right? The mysterious way that the Rambam got to Tveria, right? The Rambam died in Egypt, and he's put on a camel, and a legend, it went all the way to Tveria. Lamaisa, some say that the Rambam Dafka wanted to be buried in Tveria because that was the last place the Sanhedrin was. The last place that Rambam writes, in Ilchas Sanhedrin, the 10 places that it went after Yerushalayim, right, Tehli Yavne v'chachameha, and then Usha, and then Tzipori, the last place was Tveria. And the Rambam says, and from there, after Tchiz HaMesim, is going to come back. So Dafka, the Rambam wants to be there when the Sanhedrin gets back. Okay, weiter. Yom Achad, for one day, Asa v'yasam kameh, one day, Hordis wanted to see the test of loyalty of Baba Ben Buta. So he goes in front of him, and Baba Ben Buta is blind, and he has no idea who's sitting in front of him. So Hordis is trying to see what he could do. So Yom Achad, Asa v'yasam kameh, he stands in front of him. Amar Chazi Mar, Hai Abda Bisha, my Kavid, you see what this terrible Evan has been doing to the Jewish people? What do you think of him? Right, Hordis is trying to egg on Baba Ben Buta. Amar Leh, my Evan Leh, well, what am I supposed to do? Meaning, I'm blind, and I have no power. He wasn't saying anything negative, he was just saying the reality. Amar Leh, Naltimar, at least give him a curse. Curse him. Amar Leh, Ksiv, Gabim Madacha, Melech Al Tkalel. Even in your thoughts, don't curse a king. You're not supposed to curse a king. Amar Leh, Hailav Melechu. Yeah, but this guy's not a king, come on. You think he has the status of a king? He's not a king. Amar Leh, Veleve Asher Ba'alba. Even if he's just a rich, high person in society. Viksivu b'chadrei mishkavcha al tekalel ashir. V'lo yehel anasi. And even if he's just a prince, viksivu nasi ba'amcha lo ta'or. So I can't, oh stranger. Amar Leh, ba'osa ma'isa amcha. Yeah, but isn't that only if he's like following the Torah away? Ba'osa ma'isa amcha. He's considered part of your nation by doing the, following the mitzvahs. V'haylav osa ma'isa amchahu. And this he doesn't. Right, come on, give him a little curse. Right, the power of a curse and the power of a bracha. Various gemaras. Amar Leh, says Baba Ben Buta, mistafida bidei. I'm scared of him. Or mistafida ika, right, you see the Bach, ika inish deshama milsa va'azal umodale. Right, somebody's going to hear about it. Somebody is going to say something. Amar Leh, says Hordis, leka inish, there's nobody here, da'azil. We are alone. Don't worry. Amar Leh, Baba Ben Buta quotes Shlomo HaMelech. Ksiv ki of hashamayim yelichas akol ubal kanafayim yagei davar. As we would say, the walls have ears. Right? The birds will take the voice. There's no such thing as privacy. No such thing. I'm not saying a word. Hordis was so impressed by the self-control of Baba Ben Buta, even after all of this, he tried to egg him on. Abale, he says, Anahu, I'm Hordis. Ihavi Adana de Zahiri Rabbana Kulehai. If I knew the rabbis were so careful in how they speak, Wavi Katlinov, I wouldn't have killed all of them. I didn't know the rabbis were so self-controlling. So Hashemaitakate du Gavra, what am I supposed to do now? How do I do tshuva? How do I do tshuva after wiping out all the rabbis? Right? So what are we going to say? How do you do tshuva? See, even before that, right? Ofa shabai b'yoluch has a call of privacy. There's so much in terms of, so the Chashuki Chebed here discusses in terms of listening to other people's conversations. Right? They're a yisur. He says, what happens? Sometimes you're in a situation where you can't help it. You're sitting on a bus and two people in front of you are having a conversation. And you happen to know the people involved. And you overhear it. So are you allowed to listen? What do you mean, allowed to listen? Right? So you're not supposed to try to listen. You're not being makabel lashon hara. But he discusses that's included in Isurim. Isurim of Lo Sigzol, Isurim of Gnevas Das, Isurim of Lifnei, of V'yahavta L'Rechal Kamocha. There are many things wrong to listen to people's conversations when they don't know that you are listening. Unless it's for a to'elus purpose. If it's a parent and a child, in certain circumstances, if it's a Rebbe and a student, again, not blanket heter, but in certain cases where something is appropriate, right? You don't even have to go, he doesn't quote him, you have to go back to Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom 1,000 years ago, one of his charabim, as we know he made many charabim, including marrying two wives and divorcing one's wife forcibly, but one is reading somebody else's mail, right? So as the Mefarshim pointed out, it's not like that was mutter before Rabbeinu Gershom. Oh, beforehand you were allowed to read people's mail. It was even a mitzvah, right? And then he came along and said it's awesome. It was awesome beforehand too. But he just put a chayr, he put a curse on someone who reads other people's mail and all of the halakhas. So any type of getting any information from someone that is not mine. And he quotes that in the days of, here, the Chajuk Chemin quotes the earlier tshuvas that they used to write on the outside of letters, fagin, pei, gimel, yud, nun. What does fagin mean? Poritz geder, yishchenu nachash. Right, if you break through these rules, then a nacha should bite you, meaning the curse of the rabbi should bite you. Fagin, right? That's what it used to say on the back of the letters. Don't you dare open this, because again, the days when the letters were brought over weeks and delivery, right? So now it's the now all it says is that on the emails it says, you know, only meant for the recipient and not usually says that at the bottom though. So it's after you might have read it, should say that at the top. Either way, okay. Right, then we have to be careful about privacy, says the Gemara. So he heard this sense. So what am I supposed to do? I killed out all the rabbis. So Amalei says, Ba ben Buta, Hu kaba orashal olam, you destroy the light of the world. Dechsev kiner mitzvah v'torah, or yelech v'yasa orashal olam. Go light it up again, meaning rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Dechsev v'naharu elav kol hagoyim. As the Pasuk says, all the Goyim, all the nations of the world, will naharu, they will stream towards the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash will be such a inspirational place that the whole world will go there. Igad Amri Hachi Amalei, or a little different. Hu Sima Eino Shalolam, he blinded the eye of the world, Dechsiv, V'haya Im Me'inei Ho'eda, the Einayim of the Eda, that's the Sanhedrin, Yelech V'yisazik Me'ino Shalolam, Dechsiv, Hineni Mechalel, Es Mikdashi, Ge'od Uschem Machman Einechem. So again, the eyes connected to the Beis HaMikdash, right? Those psukim in Yishayo, we had Navi shir about that, Yishayo, Perek Beis. There are some very famous psukim there, just to point out one, which is very unexpected if one never opened up a Sefer Yishayo. In Sefer Yishayo, Perek Beis, where Yishayo is having a vision of hundreds of years, but really it's talking about thousands, right? So he's talking about the ultimate geula. So in Perek Beis, it talks about V'hayim ba'achras hayamim, Nachon yeh har beis Hashem b'rosh ha'arim, v'nisam migva'os. It'll be higher than gva'os. That means, Rashi quotes there, that the nisim that will take place will be greater than all the nisim that took place on all the mountains in history. Gva'os, har Sinai, har Carmel, by Eliyob har Carmel, v'naharu elav kol hagoyim, all the nations of the world will flock towards Yerushalayim in a good way. Not like Rachman al-Islam today, where everybody wants a piece of Yerushalayim. But in a good way, they'll be inspired by the Beis HaMikdash. V'halchu amim rabim v'amru. And the nations of the world will say, L'chu v'nale el har Hashem, el Beis Elokei Yaakov. Let's go. V'yoreinu midrachav. He, Mashiach, will teach us from his ways. The Rabbi writes in Hilchos Malachim. Mashiach will be close to a Navi, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Can't say as or more because Moshe Rabbeinu is one of the Ani Ma'amids. He'll be close to Moshe Rabbeinu in Nevuah, and he will be smarter than Shlomo HaMelech. That's what the Rambam says. Chacha Mishlomo V'anav, almost like Moshe, and Navi almost like Moshe. That's V'yoreinu Midrachav. He's going to teach us. V'nelcha Baruch Osav, and we'll go in his pathways. And then what does it say? The simple understanding of the pasuk is this is still the non-Jews talking. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. That pasuk, the simple interpretation in Yishayo is that that was said by the Umos HaOlam. That's going to be said. The famous Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. That's going to be said. They're going to have such a recognition. But that's what Baba Ben Buta quotes to Hurdis. Naharu Elav Kol HaGoyim. That's what they're all going to go and be inspired by the Beis Hamikdash. So Amar Leh, so heard this says, Mistafida mi Malchusa, but I'm scared that the Rome, I'm a Roman, remember? So the Rome, in Rome, they're going to be upset at me. They're going to be angry at me. Amar Leh, says Baba Buddha, I have an idea. Shadar Shlicha, Velezel Shasa. Send the Shliach and tell him, take a year till you get to Rome. Send a letter asking permission to Rome. Velakiv Shasa, let him stay there for a year. Velahadar Shasa, and come back a year. I mean, it'll give you 3 years. Tell him to go very slowly. And meanwhile, you'll break down the dilapidated structure, right? That's what we learned yesterday. It was dilapidated. Then you'll rebuild it. So he says, great, Shalchuleh, he did that. And then after 3 years, they sent him back a message because they realized what he was doing. So they sent him back. Im lo satarta altistar. If you didn't break it down yet, don't break it down. V'im satarta altivne. If you did break it down, don't rebuild it. V'im satartu vanisa. And if you finished everything, avdabisha. You're just a bad Eved, right? They insult him. Baser da avdin mismalchin, right? After asking Rishus, so then they will become an Eved. Im zaynach alach, if you are very, zayn is like weapons, if you're very proud of your weapons, if you're holding yourself high, sifrach kad, your sefer of yichus is here. Meaning we know your background, we know you're not royalty. Right, we don't think you're so great. Lo racha v'lo baracha. You're not a king, you're not the son of a king. Heard this avda kalan yibisavi. You're just a light servant. My racha malchusa. How do you know racha? Rach, what does racha mean? It means malchus. Tichsiv anochi ayom rach u'bashuach melech. Beginning of Shmuel Beis, v'yiseba mehacha v'yikru lefanav av reich by Yosef. Okay, why would the Romans have been upset if they say, oh, if you didn't destroy it yet, then don't destroy it. What if they have wanted it to be like totally destroyed so it was dilapidated? They said, no, if you broke it down already, don't break it down. Why not? Make it even worse. So again, the Ben Yehoyada says, they knew that there was a nevuah going back, that they were going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't want to be Yotze with the little destruction that Hordas was going to do. They wanted to have a real strong destruction, a Chorban. So they said, if you didn't destroy it, don't. We don't want God to like say that's it. He said, "Venir ali tehemayo yodim alide kaldiim." They knew based on the fortune tellers. Tehem asidim lahachriv beis hamigdash ula galos es Yisrael. Achadai lo igi azman v'lechei choshishim if yistar tespat lagzir lagamre. And therefore they said, "Don't do it." And by the way, that's also he says, "Why didn't they kill Hordas? Why were they? They were like, okay, if you destroyed it and rebuilt it, fine. You're just an Evan. Why did they? Why when they were upset at him?" It must be because they felt that really he didn't do anything. He rebuilt it good because we want it to be rebuilt because we want to be able to destroy it in a significant way. Viter. Abri says the Gemara. Mishalo Ra Binyan Hordas, La Ra Binyan Noa Miyabav. If you didn't see Hordas' reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash, you haven't seen a beautiful building in your life. But my Banye, it was gorgeous. What did he build it with? Amaraba Ba'avni Shisho Marmara, fancy type of marble and tiles. Ikat Abri Ba'avni Kuchla Shisho Marmara, types of blue tiles. Afik Safa Va'ayel Shafa. Kihechi did a Kabel Sita. What was that? He didn't put the bricks one on top of another. He put one indented and one out, one in, one out, so that when you put the plaster on the inside, it doesn't show from the outside. On the outside, you only see the beautiful bricks, right? You don't see the plaster. That's why he did it in this fancy way. Sovra l'mishay medava. Then he was going to line the whole thing in gold. He was going to make all the inner walls into gold. Amar le rabbanan shafke. The rabbi said, no, just leave it. Tachi shaper tvei. We like it better this way with the marble. Demechzi ki idvasa diyava. Because it looks like the waves of the sea. And therefore what? Rashi says it's beautiful. Right, says it's beautiful. Says the Marsha, maybe it's deeper. Right? It's Chelas Dobel Yam, Yamba Dobel Rakia, Rakia Dobel Akisi Akavid. The Gemara Menachis. What is blue aqua? That reminds us ultimately, Chelas, sea, sky, God. Right? So maybe the blue is a reference to, that's why they said it's beautiful, because we want to have that Chelas, feel when we see it. Period. How did Ben Mebuta give advice to minimize the punishment? Right, Hordas was terrible. And now he's rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be one of those, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to deal with him. Has dealt with him. Like, what are you going to do with Hordas? Right, so says the Ben Mebuta. So how did he give advice to minimize the punishment? Why was Daniel punished? He gave advice to Nebuchadnezzar about how to minimize his punishment. Shadabar Lohei Malka, Bilki Yishper Alach. It should be good upon you. You could get rid of your sin with charity. And you'll have length for your shalva, meaning you'll have delay in your punishments. Right? Give staka, give to the needy. Kolo mata on Nebuchadnezzar malka. All the punishments eventually came on Nebuchadnezzar. But only at the end of a year, 12 months. So you see, it was delayed, and Daniel was punished for that. Telling Nebuchadnezzar what to do. Says the Gemara, a couple of answers. What's the difference between Daniel, who was held accountable for it, and Bava Buta, who was not? Ibai Yisayim HaShayini Avda Dechayva B'mitzvahs. Heard this was different. He was semi-Jewish. See, helping him out a little bit. Ibai Yisayim HaShayini Beis HaMikdash. Right? Beis HaMikdash is different. Di lo malchus lo mispani. If you didn't ask him, there was no way he was going to get rebuilt. So the Beis HaMikdash is different. The Be'iri writes here. Yeah, this is a classic type of, when you have these types of agadatas, to look in the Be'iri. The Be'iri says, Kvayadata, Bahar Be'averos, Shemidarke Hashem Ba'onchehem, Shalo Lahaspik Biyodolasos Shuva, Lerov Haflachas Hameri V'kvad Roa Hafala Hayotzeis Bibadu. There are some Averos, says the Be'iri, that they're just so bad, Hashem does not want you to do tshuva, or doesn't help you do tshuva. Ubi kol makom, kol she'asa tshuva, eina pargo ninal b'fanel olam. If tshuva is done, then it's going to work, but it's not going to help you do tshuva. Right, and that's the evakvar bi'arnu davarzeta, and look at my chibur tshuva, I've explained that at length. And that's what the Rambam, again, we don't have time to read it right now, but that's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, or the Rambam says that some people, part of their punishments, yada diyoma, right, Paro and Sichon, some people get so lowly in their averis, Hashem does not give you the siyata deshmaya to do tshuva. And sometimes the Torah even uses the verb, hardened his heart, right? What does that mean? Right, a separate shiur about what exactly does that mean, hardening one's heart, but it means that there's no siyata deshmaya for tshuva. And therefore the Biri says, if Hashem's not helping you do tshuva, then people also shouldn't help you do tshuva. So that's the message of this Gemara, Nebuchadnezzar, and possibly Hordis. That's the Gemara's question. So that's what what was bothering the Gemara. So it says the Gemara, there's a difference though between Daniel and Bava Ben Buta, as we just said, whether it's based on Migdash or whether he was semi-Jewish. Okay. Also, the some Achronim say maybe there's a difference between Stama Russia and asking Kapara for a specific Avera. Maybe that's more inappropriate, right? I did this. How should I do tshuva? Again, we find throughout history people asking people asking great people, how do I do tshuva? Remember, the Noda Bihuda was asked. We read that tshuva in a number of contexts. There was somebody, Rachman al-Islan, there was terrible Maisas Nus with a mother-in-law for 3 years, and he asked the Noda Bihuda two questions. Number one, do I have to tell the husband that he's living in sin? I'm only an Eidecha Nehma Bisurin. Do I have to tell the wife and the husband? And number two, how do I do tshuva? And the Noda Bihuda says, you're asking me a question that's not based on halacha. You're asking me something that is beyond, you know, there's no tshuvas hamishkal that we know specifically what's tshuva for Zorin Aveira. And he says, even if you fast the years of Misushelach, it probably wouldn't be enough to solve your problems. So he says, Torah, Tefillah, and he says what the best things that he could come up with. But again, here too, Nebuchadnezzar and Hordis asks what I should do. Weiter. V'Daniel minala diyanish. How do I know that Daniel was punished for this? Ilei v'bishim d'chziv. V'tikra Esther l'hasach. V'abar Rav. Hasach zed Daniel. If you say that the hasach in the Megillah was really Daniel and he was punished, well, that fits if we have one chazal. Hani chlamad amr shachatchu b'gdulaso. Why was he called hasach? So maybe because Achashverosh cut him down from his previous royal position in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. Right? And Achashverosh was later. So if you say hasach is from the word chatach, so then fine. Tosus quotes a medrash that says that he was killed. That hasach, which is Daniel, was killed because he saw that he was playing games with Esther and Mordechai and bringing back messages. So Achashverosh ended up killed. Later on, we don't find hasach. We find Charvona, but there's no more Hasach, who was alive earlier in the Megillah. That's based on a Pirkei Dzirab Eliezer. But Argamar doesn't say that. Right? Tosfos Argamar in Megillah says that no, Hasach was nothing happened. So that's what the Gemara says. If you see Hasach, that just means that he was a powerful person. Then where was he punished? The Shadiu Laguba Dar Yavasa. No, he was still thrown into the lion's den. He was saved, but just that danger itself was a punishment. Being put into that situation. And that shows his punishment. Okay, Adkan, the Agadata that we related to by Baba Mabuta and Hordis, we got into that from the statement of Rav Chisda, who says that you can't destroy a shul if you don't have another shul built yet, and the two reasons given on Gimel Mabes. Now we get back to Baba Basra. Hakol Kiminag HaMedina. So the Mishnah said everything goes like the Minag of the Medina in terms of building the wall. Hakol Lasuye Mai. So what does that include? Lasuye Asra Dinihigi Behutza Vadafna. In a place where they even use less. Hutza Vadafna, little bushes and shrubbery. Right, even that will be okay if that's the Minag of the Medina. If you remember, this is what Rabbeinu Tam quoted back on Daf Beis. That there's a minimum hutzav adafna. Less than that, the Rabbeinu Tam said, that's a minhag hedyot, a minhag ta'us. And you can't have anything less than this. But he quoted this Gemara, because the Gemara doesn't say, even if, it still gives a minimum. Hutzav adafna. Lefichach, imnaf halakos al-magam avarim shol shneihem. If the wall falls down, it belongs to both of them, because you assume that both of them shifted to the wall. Pshita, lo tzricha adraf al reshus of the chad binayu. Now, even if it falls into the reshus of one of them, or one of them takes it into his reshus after it fell down. So you might think, oh, there's muchzakus. It's owned by one of them. It's in one of their reshus. Kamashblad, you don't say that in this case. Right? You don't say that in this case. We're not going to assume that just because it's in your reshus, that it belongs to you. Rabbeinu Yoda, the Rashba also quotes these two days of Rabbeinu Yoda, discusses, that's a pretty amazing havamina. Let's say I'm holding something and I trip and it falls into your backyard. All of a sudden you can rub it out. Oh, it's mine! I'm also a Mariah. I don't understand. The wall is in between and it happened to fall down. All of a sudden you might be able to say Moshe Mechavel Mariah. But every time something, you go just like that. Hechi Taisaka Daitin, Lahotzi Avonim, Mecheska Sashituf, Bishvil Shanaflo Avonim, Lurishus Echemehem. Atu Mishanafal Taliso, Machatzer Chaveir, Befanenu, Yacho Balachatzer Liton Lakuachu Biyadi. That's very hard to say. So says Rabbeinu Yoda, it's not that he would be able to keep it because he would say, I bought it. He might be able to keep it because he might be able to claim, I built it. Because that is not anything that happens in front of us. That's the Chiddush. The Havamina is not that, oh, it's in my reshus, so it's mine. No. We see, we know it fell down. No, the Havamina is that, it's in my reshus, that's not the difference. But because it's in my reshus, and I can claim that I built it, that's why he would be able to keep it. Kamashvalon, we don't say that. Kamashvalon, that no, he cannot taina, he cannot claim lakuachu biyadi, he cannot claim I built it, because the rules are that people have joint ventures in these walls. V'cheid begida b'akam shagol lugda b'chayvet also. Also by a gida, now the Mishnah says, by a garden where the minug is to put up a fence b'chayvet also. So now we said we're going to get up to this in the Gemara. Here it is. Hagufa kasha. Each line of the Mishnah gives off a different impression. Amart v'cheid begina b'akam shagol lugda b'chayvet also. We said by a vegetable garden in a place where the minug is to put up together b'chayvet also. We make him. Hastamei b'chayvet also. But where there is no minug, we don't force him. Eba Seifa, but the next line, Avalbika, when it comes to a large area of a field of grain, Makam Shagu Shalom Lignar, Eba Chaybedoso, Hastama, Bechaybedoso. So you get different impressions from each line, right? Stama, if there's no minog, do we force or do we not force? So Hasha Stam Gina Amartlo. If by a vegetable garden you say we don't force, which is more of a private area, Stam Bika Miboy, by a Bika we would force. It's in the opposite direction. By a bika is more of a public area than a gina. So if you don't force by a gina to privatize, so by a bika surely you shouldn't privatize. Right? By a gina, the Nebuka Yosef says, there's all different types of vegetables, it's very interesting, the tomatoes and the cucumbers. I mean, what? Grain. Grain is grain. It's all the same grain. It's not as interesting. People aren't gonna, so that's a more public area. So Amar Abaya Hachi Kabar. So two answers. First Abaya. Hachi Gemara, V'chein Stam Gina, says the Gemara, also by a Stam Gina, you are obligated, and then add in a Vav. Ooh, b'makam shenago ligdar b'bika b'chayvet also. And in a place where the minug is by a bika b'chayvet, meaning, but by, if there's no minug, by a bika, that we would enforce, because that's a more public area. Arbalei Rava Imkein my aval. But it says in the last line, aval bebika. Here it's just different. Ela marava hachi tani. No, this is how you should read the Mishnah. V'chein stam gina kimakam shenagul ligdar dami. Ubechayvet oso. A gina is like a place where there's a minhag to be together. Ubechayvet oso. Aval stam bika. That's the contrast between no minhag in each. Aval stam bika. Kimakam shelo nagul dami vein mechayvet oso. Okay. Good. That's how we read the Mishnah. Ella, Imratza, the Mishnah then continued and said, but if you want to, you personally want to put up a wall, so you can put up a wall, but within your own property. Ella, Imratza, according to Tokh Shalom, Ubodev, Osa Chazis. You could build it in your property, and then put up a little marker, a Chazis, on the outside. So that we'll always remember that you personally put up the wall. So my Chazis, what exactly is a Chazis? 3 days. Number one, Amar Rav Huda. You bend the wall a little bit towards the outside. You make it a little tilted towards the outside, so we'll know that the one on the inside built the wall. Why don't you just build, why don't you make it tilted inside towards the person who did it? No, because the other guy could then put, make it tilted on the other on the outside. Right, if you put like a little tilt on the inside, then he can just put a tilt on the outside. So Yahi Ashanabi, guys like Chavre. But here too, if it's on the outside, maybe your friend will just cut it off. And say it's both of ours. No. Gizuze made the idea. It'll be obvious. You'll be able to see a cut of a rock. Right? And therefore, he won't be able to do it. One version. The opposite. No, you do it on the inside. Why don't you do it on the outside? Guys like Chavre, because the friend might cut it. And he'll say, oh, we both built it. Oh, so here too, if you put it on the inside, maybe he'll just add on an extra piece on the outside. Lifufa mediadia. No, that'll be noticeable. But it says mibachutz in the Mishnah. How can you have this second suggestion? So that's Kasha, Tosa discussed. It's not a tiyufta, just a little question. You can understand bachutz in other ways as well. Third answer, Rabbi Yochanan Abar, what does it mean? Nishaya ba'amsa bilavar. You smear some lime on the top ama of the wall. So why do you do that on the inside? Avid chavri bilavar, because your friend will also always do it then. He'll smear on the outside, you smear on the inside. It's not going to help. Ihachi hashanabi de kafale chavre. Maybe he'll peel off your lime. Va'abar di divi di dehu. And then he'll say it's both of ours. Kilufa me di adia. No, that you'll be able to see, right? If it was peeled off, that he did it, and therefore, this is a raya that it will be yours. Hutsa. What if you have a wall made out of hutsa, out of Rashi says nitzarim types of branches? Amar of Nachmid, sinufe yirechi milavar. You tie them up from the outside. V'nevin milagav. Why not from the inside? Avin abichari milavar. Because then your friend will also do it on the outside. V'amarti David idehu. And he'll say it's both of ours. So yachi ashanabi guys v'shadilei. V'amarti David idehu. Maybe he'll just cut off your tie and he'll say it's both of ours. Masrik leitina. No, you also coat the fence on top with mud, and therefore you'll be able to see. Hashanabi azichavi v'kalaflei. He'll peel off the mud. Kilufa media dia. As we said, peeling is you'll be able to see it was peeled, and therefore it's okay. It's enough of a simon. Abaya abar hutza lesle takanta ela bishtara. Abaya said no. With the hutza with these branches. You know, it's not going to work with tying them up and the mud. You just need a shtar. You have to have a shtar. Keep the document that says that you built this wall. Period. Aval, the end of the Mishnah said, but if they both build it, then what do? In a place where we don't force them, but they both want to, that they put up two chazios, one on each side. Says the Gemara, the obvious problem. Arvalei Rava mi parzik l'ravashi, lo yasu lo zev lo zes. Why don't you just do nothing? What do they both have to put it up for? Just do neither. And then you would think that it's equal, no? What if one of them already did his side? One guy already put up a simon. So the other guy has to put up a simon now too. So he put up two simonim in order to be able to say that it belongs to both of them. Says the Gemara, what, the whole Mishnah is telling us a halacha about for a trickster? If one guy did it already... So you gotta protect yourself. right? You have to cover your future possible losses. So that's what the Mishnah is telling me. That a halacha for that. Habarle says the Gemara. Yeah, the whole Mishnah is like that. Vareisha laf takata l'rabayu. The whole din. What, the Reisha is not a takata l'rabai that says that if you're building it, put up a sign, put up a chazis on the outside. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Mishnah is telling us how to protect ourselves. Abarlai says, no, wait a minute. Bishlama Reisha Tanadina. The first line is saying the din. What's the din? If you want to put up a wall, you need to put it within your own rishus. If there's no obligation. And once you put it into your own rishus, the Gemara adds on it, you know what? Good idea to put up the thing on the outside. Obishab Dina Tanatakata. Ella Seifa. But the second line, Dina Ktani, Tatkari Takata. We don't learn anything new from the last line of the Mishnah. If they both want to do it, they both can do it. So why would you say put up the chazios? So that's why the Gemara is bothered. The first line we understand why you would say Tani Bishvil Ramayim. But the second line, why? Samar Avina Hacha Behutze Askinan. No, we're talking about this other type of branches, type of wall. You know what the chiddush of the Mishnah is? Lafuki Midabaya. To Amar Abaya. Damar, Hutza Lesle Takanta Ella Bishtara, as Abaya said, there's no way to do any type of sibid when it comes to a Hutza wall, Kamash Malan, to Bechazis Sagya. And Kamash Malan, that with a Chazis, it is enough. You can't put a type of marker on the outside. Okay, let's at least start the next Sugya. The Sugya of Makif and Nikaf and Runya. Here we go. Hamakif is Chaver Mishalash Ruchos. Vigadar. What's the case? There is someone who has fields all around. Reuven has four fields around Shimon's one field in the middle. And as of now, there's no walls in between all the fields. What happens if one day the outer person, well, there's a major machlokas, what the Gemara means, Rashi and other Rishonim and the Rabban. We're going to go with Rashi's pshat. Rashi says the pshat is that the outer person, let's say that's Reuven, builds walls, three walls, in between three of his fields and Reuven's fields. I mean, now there's a wall between the three outer fields and the inner field. Bali Tosfos, the Rabban, says, no, we're talking about walls built on the outside of the fields, which still affords some protection and privacy to the inner one. But we're going to go with Rashi Pshat, right? You're building the walls on the inside. So once you build the three walls on the inside, Eba Chayvino, so at that point, you do not force the inner guy to chip in for the walls, because he has not fully benefited, because it's still open on the fourth side. So therefore, he could say, well, what'd you do for me? What'd you do? I'm still open. I'm still subject to the elements. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Amad V'Gadar Saravias. Rabbi Yossi says, if he, who's the he? Unclear. The Gemara will discuss. If he gets up and, let's say it means the outer one, if he builds all four, then Megagal Avasakol. Then you make him pay for all of them. So what does that mean? So the Gemara is going to say, as we just said, if the inner guy builds the fourth wall, so maybe that's Megala that he's happy with the other three walls. So that would say, oh, you build the fourth one? Okay, now you gotta pay for all of them. Right? What if the outer ones build the fourth one? Would we then? Because then he's getting Hana anyway. He just, you know, so which is it? Is it the Makif or is it the Nikaf? The Makif is the outer one, the Nikaf is the inner one. So that's the Shiloh, as we will see. So I'm review number four. Halacha Kerbiosi. The Halacha like Kerbiosi to Amar. Im Amad Vagadaras or Avias. If he got up and built the fourth, but God loves a coal. Not only do we make him pay for the fourth wall, we make him pay for all the walls. That's Rabbi Yossi Shita. Lo shna aman nikaf, lo shna aman makif. And it doesn't matter whether it's the nikaf or the makif that built the fourth wall. What's the bigger chiddush? Even if the makif built the fourth wall. So the inner guy didn't do anything, but I've given you a tremendous amount. The Ramban here and other Rishonim say, this is similar to the case of, we had a Bab Metzia, Yored Latok Sadosho Shel Chavero. If I go into your field and I garden your field for you, so you have to pay me for it, even if you didn't ask. If I gave you a Hana, I gave you a benefit, you don't have to pay me the most expensive, but you have to pay me for it. Itmar Ravuna, period. So let's just do the Machlokas. Itmar Ravuna Amar Akolafi Ma Shegadar. So when we say, you have to pay for the wall in Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huda says, Hakolavi Bashagadar. He has to pay for the wall, even if it was an expensive type of wall. You have to pay for what was done. Chiyav Arav Amar, Hakolavi Dmei Kana Bezol. No, you pay for the cheapest wall that could have been put up. Meaning, because you can tell the Makif, I didn't need such an expensive wall. I could have done a cheaper wall. So you have to pay for all of them. But the cheapest wall available. You don't have to pay for anything for anything more than that. Tzran, says the Mishnah. Does the Mishnah give any hint to who we to who is correct? So, you know what? Let's stop here again. Tzran, the Amud Beis tomorrow is short, but again, from the last cycle, I started with the Mishnah anyway, but we'll stop with Tzran. And again, there's a lot of lumdas here. This sugya relates to the sugya in Baba Kama Daf Chaf, Zenen Evizelo Chaser, because when am I obligated to pay you for something? When you lose something because of me, or when you benefit me? Do we focus on the Hana? Do we focus on the Chisaron? What about Zenen Evizelo Chaser? Right, so that's this sugya, and we get into Runya. Runya is a makif who's on Tamar's daf, but Rav Hashem, it's exciting issues. Again, today's Omen Aleph was just more, you know, packed. I'm sorry, I apologize, but nothing to apologize for. But either way, the next two daf we'll put up from the last cycle, Rav Hashem, we'll pick up then with the new again on Daf Zayin.